Thanks for joining us today. I'm Todd Zwillick. The pre-sentencing trial for Army Sergeant Bo Bergdahl begins today in a military court in Fort Bragg, North Carolina. Last week, Bergdahl pleaded guilty to desertion and misbehavior before the enemy for walking away from his post in Afghanistan in 2009. Rich Oppel is a domestic correspondent for the New York Times, and he's been following the story.
So he walked off his base in 2009. Within hours, he was captured by the Taliban. The military launched a huge search and rescue operation that proved fruitless. He was held in captivity, brutal captivity, for 5 years, and then the Obama administration traded him for five detainees at Guantanamo Bay. He was brought back to the U.S. His parents appeared in a very famous scene in the Rose Garden that later became quite controversial. Republicans objected to the trade and to the extent to which the Obama administration had embraced Bergdahl. Then the next year, he was charged with these two counts, one of which carries a maximum life sentence. You know, and at the preliminary hearing, the Army's own investigating officer actually, you know, recommended no jail time. But the Army proceeded with these charges that could be quite severe, and that's where we are now.
Why did Bergdahl plead guilty?
It's hard to know precisely, but a couple of factors that were clearly at play include a string of defeats that his defense team had suffered in terms of pretrial motions and hearings over the course of the year. These include whether soldiers who the Army says were wounded during the search for him, whether either they can testify or evidence can be presented about their injuries. In addition, whether or not his reenlistment, which occurred while he was in captivity, was legitimate, or whether in reality he should never have been reenlisted and should be a civilian right now. And most importantly, what happened earlier in the year in February when the military judge ruled against the defense's motion to dismiss the charges because of what's known as unlawful command influence, which in this case was the idea that because Donald Trump, who had just been inaugurated in January when the defense made the motion, had been so very outspoken about the case and called for Bergdahl to even be executed.
Well, let's listen to those very words from President Trump.
We're tired of Sergeant Bergdahl, who's a traitor. He's a traitor, a no-good traitor, who should have been executed. Somebody said the other day, well, he had some psychological problems. Well, you know, in the old days, bing, bong, when we were strong.
Bing bong, the president said, making a gun motion as though Bo Bergdahl should have been shot. He's the commander in chief now. Is the defense still trying to argue in sentencing here that the commander in chief making remarks about this sergeant in custody are prejudicial?
Well, that's interesting because until last week, it had actually been a settled issue, at least in this courtroom with this judge. It had been a settled issue since his ruling on this in February. But the day Bergdahl pled guilty, Trump was asked in a press conference, well, you know, what about the argument that he can't get a fair trial because of the things you've said? And Trump first said, well, I really can't talk about it. But then he said, you know, words to the effect of, but all of you know what I've said in the past on this.
I'm not going to comment on it, but I think people have heard my comments in the past.
Now, to Bergdahl's defense counsel, this was Trump as president for the first time confirming that his beliefs have not changed and that as president and commander-in-chief, this is how he feels about the case. So they have now made a new motion to the judge, which he might take up this week. It's not clear. But they've made a new motion to the judge saying that, you know, now Trump has said these new comments as commander-in-chief. And so once again, that has prejudiced the case and the case should be thrown out.
What other factors could influence how Bo Bergdahl is sentenced here?
Well, I think the lines are pretty clearly drawn here. The prosecutors are going to argue that the search for Bergdahl in the 6 weeks or so after he was captured really disrupted the war effort and the operational tempo of the military in eastern Afghanistan. But more significantly, they're going to argue that, or it's expected that they will present evidence of wounds suffered by a handful of service members during that search, including one case where a master sergeant was left basically in a wheelchair and unable to speak or care for himself, and in another case where a Navy SEAL had his leg severely wounded and ended his career. On the defense side, I expect them to say a couple of things. One, they're going to talk about the 5 years that Bergdahl spent in captivity and you know, how horrific that was and the price he's already paid for leaving his base. They may bring up arguments they've made in the past about, given Bergdahl's mental health problems, that the Army bears some responsibility here for enlisting him in the first place. And on the soldiers, service members who are wounded, I think they may make the argument, one they've made in the past in court hearings and motions, that one of the missions that led to wounds was badly botched, a military investigation later found. And in the other one where the Navy SEAL was wounded, there was actually perhaps a dual purpose in that, where they were actually trying to get a Taliban insurgent as part of that mission. So in both cases, they've made the case you can't directly tie those wounds to Bergdahl, because either in the case of the first mission, the mission was so fatally flawed to begin with, and in the other case, because it really wasn't only about Bergdahl.
And how long before we might know what Bo Bergdahl's sentence is?
Well, that depends on whether the judge rules from the bench or takes it all under advisement, then issues a ruling through a written paper in the next couple of weeks or so. I expect the latter probably, but I could be wrong. I the judge seems like he's someone who likes to move things along pretty quickly.
Rich Oppel, domestic correspondent for The New York Times. Rich, thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me.
I'm David Remnick, host of The New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.